Plenitude, written by Eldritcher and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, Harry Potter. Relationship, Hermione Granger / Amelia Bones. Rating, mature. Additional tags, wartime, happy ending, love. I love you. Madame Bones said nothing at all to this declaration. Her unflappability was no mere facade. My name is Hermione Granger.
I know who you are.
My name is Hermione Granger. I love you. Madame Bones poured her a cup of tea. It was the second week of July.
At least we're alive, Harry said.
He had become rather obsessed with finding the silver lining. It scared Hermione. Her grandmother had been like Harry, determined to be cheerful when death drew closer to her day by day. Hermione had given up her parents and run. She was living in the wild with a boy marked to die. She had tucked away her mourning, for heroes needed a crew of secondary characters. Harry had only her. It wasn't enough. What could they do? Hermione? She shook her head. She did not want him worrying about her. He had enough to worry about.
I am going to tell you about Madame Bones at the hearing, he declared.
You have already told me that story a few dozen times.
You can use cheering up. Hearing about her cheers you up.
Ron would have twitted her about it. About her silly crush on an unattainable woman. Harry settled instead for telling her a story he had told her countless times about an unflappable woman in black robes who had been fair and brave. Principled. Madame Bones had been principled. The times were not kind to the principled sorts. Hermione wondered where this would end. Progress moved forward. Good eventually won, but would the next generation cherish what they were fighting and dying for?
Lost in your head again.
Why didn't they learn after Grindelwald?
After this, after all this, write a book so that they don't forget again.
She developed a crush on Madame Bones after hearing about the unflappable woman from Sirius and Harry and Susan and Molly and so many others. A perfectly normal crush on a competent woman. Nothing to be alarmed about. If she looked up Amelia's school records and eagerly read news snippets about her that popped up in the Daily Prophet, it was perfectly normal for a crush that would fade in time.
My aunt was impressed by your OWL scores, Susan said.
You remind me of Madame Bones, Moody said.
Careful now, or you're going to become the minister before Amelia gets her turn, Mr. Weasley said.
Her amartentia smelled unflappable.
Unflappable? Harry demanded, bewildered. What does that smell like?
She shrugged. Then Madame Bones died in a locked room, fighting Voldemort. Voldemort must have hated her. He had killed her parents. He had killed her brother and brother's wife and children too. Hermione liked to think that her parents were sunning themselves on the beach and turning lobster red as happy tourists did.
I wish I had done what you did.
Hmm?
I wish I had obliviated the Dursleys and sent them to Australia or somewhere like that, Harry mumbled. He sighed. You are better at this war business than I am.
She wasn't. She wished that she could have saved Amelia Bones.
Do you love Ginny?
War changes things, you know, Harry said abruptly. I don't know her. Not really. I love her.
She did not know Amelia Bones.
What makes you so sure?
War, he replied absently. It makes everything immediate, doesn't it? It's easier to be sure. He lived in the present. He couldn't afford to do anything else.
Doesn't it feel odd? You don't know her, not really.
I grew up in a cupboard, he reminded her. We are hiding from the Snatchers and Dumbledore is dead. Falling in love with somebody I don't really know isn't the strangest thing that has happened to me. He hesitated, and then added, It wouldn't be the strangest thing that has happened to you. It wouldn't be the strangest thing that had happened to her. Muggles had it easier. In the wizarding world, there were stones to resurrect and devices that turned time and wands that defeated death. Closure was out of reach, wasn't it, when you could perform magic to return to your Hour of Plenitude? She hoped that her parents had forgotten her entirely. Maybe they had got themselves a cat. Maybe they had discovered Buddhism and surfing. Maybe they had started going to swingers' parties. I don't believe he is dead, Ron said. Ron was ready to fight and die. All of them were. Schoolchildren and teachers and villagers and housewives. She could not bring Amelia Bones back. She could not bring Harry back. Voldemort held an all-powerful wand. If she had it, if she had what the three brothers had, she would raise Harry from the dead and she would raise... Muggles had it easier.
Hermione?
Yes? Here. Harry handed her a familiar device. Repaired. The power of an accursed wand of death had mended it.
Where did you find it?
They were all destroyed in the ministry, on a night when Harry had been orphaned again.
Accio, he told her cheerfully. When in doubt, accio it.
You shouldn't have.
We can be selfish, just this once, he coaxed, grinning at her like he had grinned at her all those years ago after saving her from the troll.
1 hour,
she hedged. He hugged her. Then he snapped the wand that he had misused to gift her an hour of plenitude. Did dying make living easier? There was an ease to him that Hermione had seen before only in the old and the happy.
That's that, he decided.
My name is Hermione Granger. I love you.
Madame Bones poured her a cup of tea. Unflappable. Unflappable even on this summer evening. She would go home and fight Lord Voldemort and die. Hermione hesitated. A crush was a crush. She did not know this woman. How could she love someone she did not know? The power of an Elder Wand thrummed in the device she wore on her chest.
You are not from the present, Madame Bones said.
Hermione shook her head. She wanted to creep close. She wanted to kneel before the woman and place her head on those state-robed legs. She did not dare. She did not dare anything. The cup of tea was too sweet. She drank it, because it was poured for her by hands she wished she could press morning's kisses to. Australia was hot and humid. Harry liked it. She left him and her parents on Bondi Beach, where they were sure to burn red like lobsters and be ecstatic about it. She walked back to the little bungalow her parents had made home in. There was a woman on the street, speaking to their surfer landlord. The landlord remained in a perpetual state of drugged-out bliss. Hermione suspected that he shared his stash with her parents. She had never seen them happier. It couldn't all be the weather's doing, could it? The woman's silhouette was ghastly, scarred and marred and painted by war. She came to on the paisley sofa in her parents' bungalow. About her limp hands were knotted another's. Amelia Bones was scarred and marred and painted by war, but her wry smile was an unflappable affair.
Tea?
Hermione found herself with a cup of too sweet tea. Unflappable hands steadied the cup for her. They were ugly hands, burned and broken and repaired poorly.
You escaped.
You warned me.
I didn't tell you anything.
Amelia laughed.
What?
Hermione demanded, puzzled and pleased, shaken by sorrow and giddy joy. Amelia's eyes were electric blue, magical and spinning like Moody's had been. She had escaped that day, but she had not escaped intact.
The last time, Turner, and you used it to have tea with me.
I used it to gift myself an hour of plenitude.
Amelia grinned. It was a lopsided and ugly affair. Her mouth was a gash, as if someone had torn her lips from her face. Hermione kissed what had returned to her. It was met with sigh and smile, and there was nothing unflappable then about the woman she clung to. War changed a person. It had changed even the unflappable Madame Bones. Hermione had lived in a tent with a boy marked to die. She wondered where Amelia had hidden. She wondered how Amelia had decided to fall in love with a girl she didn't know. It was a strange affair, but it wasn't the strangest thing that had happened to them.
An hour more of plenitude?
Amelia teased her. Many hours more, Hermione decided. She thumbed Amelia's nose. It must have been set poorly after it had been broken.
You look like a pirate.
Alas, the heroine must settle for her prize.
I can make do with that,
Hermione replied. The sunlight knit sharp and silver streaks through Amelia's graying hair, and it was all Hermione could do to chase them with shaking fingers that had prayed longing's looted prayer. Amelia raised a cup of sweet tea to Hermione's lips.
To freedom, Hermione offered.
They might have made heroines and pirates of themselves, but it was only so that the next generations would not have to. She would write a book so that they wouldn't forget. It wouldn't happen again, not in their time, not in the times that came after their time. That was that.
To freedom and to plenitude, Amelia vowed.
In a faraway place, baked lobster red by the sun, kissing a scarred, marred, war-painted woman who was alive and happy, Hermione knew an hour more of odd plenitude. She trusted there would be an hour more, and another, and another. The End.